for the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And this is For The Players, the pop culture is position podcast with almost 60 years playing PlayStation and like 15 years in this games media combined. I'd like to thank you for joining us in this PlayStation conversation.
This PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to take part in future conversations with us, you can come and check out our socials, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and X. All of those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopculturist, where you can watch us record this show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation Pod. If you are listening to us on podcast services, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. If you watch us on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, leave a comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. If you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/thepopculturists. I'm not going to plug the store again because we haven't sold a shirt in fuck knows how long. So why waste my extra breath? How are you, man?
Tired.
Yeah, I feel that.
Yeah, Ali's on the early shifts this week.
Yeah.
So I just feel like I'm getting less sleep than usual.
Because you normally get a bit extra sleep when she does the lights.
Sometimes. Depends on what time the children wake up.
Oh, okay. So I was just sort of curious on...
Because Ali will leave at 7 o'clock in the morning if she starts work at 8, but she doesn't leave until 7:45 if she's working at 9.
Okay.
So if the kids get up before she leaves, she will generally deal with them until she has to go.
Cool.
And then
cool.
I'll get up.
Yeah, I was trying to process it and get the words, but my brain wouldn't let me get the words, and I got stuck. And I'm like, hang on, how would it change the... I got brain stuck for a second there, sorry. I feel that is that you can tell in my tone, I assume, and my inability to like be functional. I am exhausted. So I did 2 wrestling shows this weekend, which was cool, which was very fun. They were great shows. Saturday was a debut show for a new promotion. I got to be sound tech. That was lovely. And then Sunday was the usual one we do at Werribee. Which is literally in a Freemasons hall, which is always intriguing to drive up and just see, you know, that logo on the side. Like, I didn't feel like we should be in here. And then we hit someone with a chair. So it's a choice. But it was good. I took a friend of mine. I'll lay down the story. So you were at my housewarming, Max.
Correct.
You may have met my my friend Plum for like a minute. So Plummer was a mate of mine through university. We studied together, and when we finished our degree, I moved to Geelong. He stayed in the city, whatever. Eventually, he ends up moving to China. This was prior to COVID, and then he was there during COVID, and then he moved to like Poland and France, and then out of nowhere, I get a message about 2 months ago, not even. And it's just him saying, hey, I'm back in Australia, dude. And I live in Geelong West. And I was like, oh, no fucking way. So we've sort of organized us to catch up. You don't really associate with people much from your uni days, do you?
I still talk to them. Like, obviously, Blake, I play online games with. Mav actually came and visited me yesterday. I met his adorable daughter.
Oh, lovely.
And his new wife. Mm. I still talk to them, but I tend to not really. I mean, I'm like that with high school people as well, though.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm
a few close friends from high school that I speak to, and then the rest is just like, a fucking waste of time.
Yeah, I pretty much have like 2 people from high school that I still speak to. Plum and I were really close during uni. So it was one of those things where I just assumed, you know, because I moved here and they went international, that like they were a person from a particular time of my life, and they'll probably never cross paths with them again. Like not to any fault of each other, just time, distance, it's what happens. But no, it turns out that's not quite the case. So that has been really lovely, sort of catching up with them again. And I was explaining this to Phoebe, my partner. It's interesting because it's been like 10 years and so much has happened and so much in life has changed for both of us. So he's married. He's got himself a little 2-year-old, and obviously living in, all these things. And I've done a range of things. So it's interesting to sort of like catch up and, see what parts. Obviously, it sounds super weird to say it out loud, because I don't have the right words. But like, it's interesting to see what parts of the friendship have stayed the same and what parts will change. Does that make any sense?
Oh, so like having like a social regression to how you acted around them to begin with, kind of like famously Lily from How I Met Your Mother. When she hangs out with her college friend, she becomes a she becomes a woo girl.
No, and like that is a very good point. I was having that was kind of my thought, was like, well, do we default to that? Because life for both of us has changed so drastically. Compared to we were in our, 22, 23, very, very different people. So, like, I don't think if we don't default, if we don't regress in the Lily from How I Met Your Mother, what does our friendship look like now? And that's been interesting. So, with that, like, we were bullshitting and catching up and, after the show I did on Saturday, they asked me to pop around, so I did. I shouldn't have, because I'm exhausted now because of it, and just out and being social. But it felt important to me to not like go, oh yeah, nah, sorry, I'm busy, because it kind of negates the whole point of what I'm trying to do, which is like rekindle an old, restart an old friendship essentially. But by extension, I was like, hey, look, I've got to work a wrestling show tomorrow. It's in Werribee. It's not that far. Do you want to come and check it out? And he went, yeah, sure, why not? And turns out he had a pretty damn good time. So that was lovely. Getting to, even he would come to a wrestling show, Max. Actually, I have no expectation. I don't think you ever will, so I don't worry about it.
To be fair, does he like wrestling though?
No, he's never seen it, never watched it, anything.
Oh, okay. So he's not jaded yet.
No. So yeah, you're jaded without actively consuming it. You're just like, nah. That's fine. It's absolutely fair.
Look, don't get me wrong. On the occasion, I do like to watch it. I think I watched one of the last pay-per-views because it's like, I just happened to be on binge at the time. Like, hey, do you want to watch it? I'm like, yeah, why not? What have I got to lose?
Time. Brain cells.
Time. Time happened. Time was lost.
Yeah. That will absolutely happen. Wrestling does that. But speaking of things that just, absolutely consume up your time, playing games, Max. Now there is one game that we can't talk about, so we can discuss it. We got permission from the socials. Both Max and I are currently playing Lego Horizon Adventures, thanks to the team over at PlayStation Australia. What was the review embargo date?
11th.
I want to say the 13th of November.
I got the 11th in my head for some reason. I'll pull it up.
But it is also the 11th month, so that could be what's throwing me out.
It is the 13th, correct.
There you go.
But let me change the time, because it's bullshit time.
Oh, but yeah, so as of right now, we can't touch upon it. But if you hit us up on socials, shoot us a message, whichever, we'll answer any questions that you have about it in our review chat. But yeah. That's been messing about with that.
9 a.m. on the 13th.
9 a.m. on the 13th. Man, we're going to have to pre-record some, because that's fucking early. Cool. But other than that, Max, what have you been playing?
Pokemon TCG Pocket.
Oh, yeah, no, you can. Yeah, we can discuss that. Go ahead. Get in there. Enjoy it.
So this is the new phone app from the Pokemon people. So they've remade... essentially Pokemon trading card game in like a light pocket version. Time gated out the asshole. You can open like, unless you pay for premium, you can open 2 packs per day, unless you want to spend some dollary dues. Or granted, when you onboard yourself, you have a ton of missions to do, a ton of quests to do, tons of like CPU battles, and they give you a ton of the cooldown timers to like reduce the cooldown of when you can open your next pack.
Oh, that their currency or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, but once you've hit that roadblock, which is about, which was day two for me, I'm getting three packs a day because they graciously give you a 2-week trial of premium.
Oh, okay.
To like lure you in, to be like, oh, that extra pack really does make the difference. I'll pay that $14 a month. I signed up for the 2-month free trial, the 2-week free trial, and instantly cancelled it.
Nice.
I was like, I'll get 2 weeks of extra packs, and then that's it. The game's cool. It's hitting that endorphin rush of opening cards and collecting them, and it's like it's super exciting when I get the full art. And then like for the last 2 days, I've been getting nothing but absolute fucking trash, and I was like, this makes me sad. And I sat there looking at how much the Poke Gold was today to see like what the cost analysis was, and then I'm like, no, this is a slippery slope. Just turned it off. The artwork's cool. It is just essentially a light version of Pokemon trading card game. You can battle online with friends, you can battle online with randos. Everyone's running the same fucking deck, no matter if you pick beginner, intermediate, or expert. I think the three selections are. Everyone's running the same fucking Articuno deck on turn one.
Mm-hmm.
It's bullshit. Still haven't got my Charizard. Makes me sad. But it's fun. It's fun. I just wish it wasn't time gated so hard. Like getting only like as a free to play player, only getting two packs per day. It's rough.
Yeah, because I'm in the same boat. So I originally wasn't going to, because I had a feeling it was going to be microtransaction through the bumhole, and it is. So I booted it up like yourself, and it's like, oh, you get a pack every 12 hours, and I'm like, that does not match with the instant gratification that I'd want from this kind of app. Or this kind of game. Mm-hmm. The same reason that I fell off Animal Crossing very quick, because the idea of, oh, you just jump in the morning and jump in, I'm like, no, fuck that noise. No, if I want to, I want to allocate time to it, I want to play it. The 2-week free thingy with the gold make with the premium pass, whatever the fuck it's called, that does make sense. Because I'm looking around and I'm seeing people that are like level 12, 15.
I'm level 15 as a free-to-play player. But there's people on my friends list who have opened like literally twice the amount of cards that I have. And they're like, you're clearly paying for it.
Yeah.
Because there's, like, I played the shit out of it for three days straight, getting like as much as I could out of the free-to-play version.
Mm.
As much of the in-game currencies, as much of the free gold as I could. And I'm still lagging behind.
Yeah. Yeah, because like I'm generally baffled how people are getting to the levels that they are, like yourself included, really.
You just got to do those offline like CPU battles.
Well, that's true. I'm not really doing any of the battles or anything, mostly because like the normal card game, I don't give a fuck about the battle. I just want to collect the cards. Yes, and then they have, so there's this other thing they have, which is. I want to call it watch list, but it's not called a watch list. What is it called?
The wonder trade.
That one, whatever that one's called.
You can see what your friends have opened, and then you have a chance to pull one of the cards that they from their pack that they opened.
Yeah, and each of them. So like depending on the rarity of the cards within that bundle, it'll be from like one to three the tokens, and that each one of those tokens takes 12 hours, and you have a capacity of five. So you're getting fucked there too. One thing I know, now I don't know whether it's an update or I just didn't notice it initially, but I've noticed it now, is that in the Wonder Pick, the sets now have a little logo next to them to indicate whether you have them or not. Now that may have been there the entire time, but I've only noticed it today. So although I'm not deep into it, I am finding a lot of these Wonder Picks, like, three out of the five are things I have, or mm-hmm. you know, four out of the five. So it's a real risk to like jump on them. In terms of fancy pants cards, I do have like the big chonk and Charizard. Got that somehow, and it has a really cool animated sequence. So you pull the card, and then it zooms in, and then it kind of expands the card, and you see this little cutscene of it in this in environment thing, which is really cool. It's like I've got a Gyarados and a Pidgeot and a Executor and a bunch of those EX cards. I still don't know what they mean, but it looks shiny, and I assume that means it's good. Yeah, have not done the battles yet, but you know, it's been lovely in that, like, I put my friend's code up on Twitter and I totally forgot I did. So then I jump in, I'm like, who the fuck are all these notifications of a friend? Oh, I know this person, that man. Blah, blah, blah. It's lovely. I set an account up for my son as well, because there's nothing you're signing, just making it, you just start the game, there's no accounts or anything needed. Because then he'll get some good dopamines out of opening packets and stuff, and maybe we can battle. I thought that'd be fun. Yeah, I don't know whether he's been playing it more or not, because I think he'd be the same as me. He's like, 12 hours, screw that noise. He has, I assure you, he has no understanding of how actually long 12 hours is. Which then transition to the other game that I've been playing, but we'll touch upon this. Yeah, like, it's fine. It's not... I know it's a position show, so it's weird that we're talking about a Pokemon game, but it's what Max has been playing. It's fine.
I can't talk about what I've been playing.
Yeah, so. My interest has rapidly declined on it.
Well, my interest has rapidly declined on it purely in the fact that my phone has decided that it will no longer send messages via Messenger, no longer send pictures via Messenger.
That is weird. Oh, because you can't brag about your cards anymore.
I can't take screenshots. Not that I've been pulling any cards that are brag-worthy, but I can't take screenshots anymore. Can't send voice memos anymore. That was a real killer.
Yeah, that sucks, because that's pretty much it.
I've restarted my phone. I've cleared the cache. I've uninstalled, reinstalled. I left the beta program and went back to, like, basic Messenger. Nothing is working. It just perpetually sits in this fucking sending.
Weird.
I've tried 3 different Wi-Fi connections. I've tried... just my usual 5G connection. Just doesn't fucking... nothing. I can still call. I can still call, make calls through Messenger, but it doesn't... nothing else will work. Give it a shit.
Yeah, I understand my issues with the title in terms of its micros is simply because it's a phone game. Like, why would I think there would be 6 different currencies? You know, why would I think there wouldn't be? Because Mute in the chat does mention you're not a Pokemon guy, and that's okay. I am a Pokemon guy. I'm a big fan of the original 150, and probably can move into the 250 if I'm, you know, really paying attention. And a lot of the art design in these cards are reminiscent or a simile of the original run, or at least the Evolutions run, or even the 151. So that's, there were 3. There's obviously the original run, and then 151 is the... wait, which one did I say? Evolution one. 151 is the most recent redo, and it's different art than that. But a couple of years ago, they had one called Evolutions, which was straight up, they just re-released the original run, but with new shinies and whatever. It was really cool. Mm. Those ones I care about because I know those Pokemans, and like Gold and Silver, I spent a lot of time playing, so I really enjoyed that. Got Ruby Sapphire, I didn't really play, and then because I didn't have a Game Boy Advance, and then I'm kind of open to the rest, but the Pokemon that I care about or know their names or pay attention to are certainly that first 250. And as of right now in the trading card game, they are focusing on those. There are some additional ones, but I don't know where the fuck they're from. There was like some electric zebra looking thing. I haven't seen that before in my life. That was weird. But yeah. Yeah, so how are you finding the Pokemans? Because you've been around for a while. Like, you've been playing... you've been involved in the Pokemans more than I have.
I dabble in and out. So, of the handheld Pokemon games, I stopped at Gold and Silver.
Mm-hmm.
And then I picked it back up. I got Sword and Shield. Mm. And then I got the Let's Go game, because I'm like, oh, it's back to... it wasn't. Weird and new, but I really liked Legends Arceus.
That's the one I assumed that I would probably get a kick out of, because one of my biggest problems with Pokemon in general is that, like, it really hasn't done anything to change any, like, any major improvements on how it runs, instead focusing more to try shut down people that do it the same but better, which is interesting. But speaking of the same but better, the one game I have been playing a whole lot of, mostly because the game just won't seem to fucking end, is Silent Hill 2 Remake. So I am about 12 hours in at this point. I thought I would have been done by now, but it just keeps going. And I know we spoke about last week, Max. I gave you an approximate location of where I was just before, just ahead of the labyrinth and the prison. In the labyrinth now, I've just bumped in a pyramid head again, and I'm kind of like, I don't know, whatever the fuck's going on down there.
I don't want to make you feel bad, but you can finish the game using no glitches in 1 hour and 54 minutes. So, like, be better, I guess.
That is an unreasonably different amount of time. How the fuck do you do that? Because I would love to have finished it. Like, the game is great, and I've mentioned that I've already been a big fan of it. And I over the last couple of weeks, I've talked about how much I've been enjoying it, and that is still very much true. Like, I do like the game. I like the aesthetic. I had played 2 back in the day, but my history and connection to Silent Hill is way more within the rounds of 1 and 3. So I played, I remember, like, very quickly I got to the point that I remembered playing this on PlayStation. I went, oh, okay, cool. I think it was the prison, which also took a lot less time to get to back then. So now I'm in kind of this new, the labyrinth, which is an era that I don't really remember because I don't think I've ever done it. So that's been cool. So, where am I now? Like, I've sort of seen the conclusion of, what's her name? Is it Alice? Alice? Because Laura is the little girl. And then there's Maria. And you're chasing Mary. And then Eddie, I've seen, but I haven't... I'm pretty sure I see him again.
Do you mean Angela?
Angela. We'll go with Angela. Yeah, so I've resolved the Angela side of things. Just did her little boss battle. That was really cool and really creepy. But the game is very, very good. The improvements that they have made in terms of the controls and the visuals, sprint, sound design, still fantastic. The only thing that I would actively complain about is the game is so painfully fucking dark. I understand this is something you can adjust, and I have gone in and tried to adjust, like, the HDR and the brightness and or within the game, and yet it's just still unbearably dark all the time. So I have to play with the curtains down in the lounge, like, just because any glare is just makes anything in the game literally impossible to see. And that is very, like, especially as in these later levels, like, the prison was really dark. Like, at least within the streets, there was street lights and whatever. It's not very much, but the apartment building at least had some sort of ambient light. Yeah, where the prison and the labyrinth is just fucking painfully dark. And it legitimately is hurting my eyes if I play it for too long. But yeah, I'm in a position where, like, yeah, I'm just shy of 12 hours deep. I feel I'm really close, but I know there's some things I have to do before, and I don't know where they sit, you know, because I am aware of the game and how it ends and where the direction that it takes. But I am a little like, ooh, how far away is this? How far away is that? Because I would just, even today, I was playing it this morning, and Phoebe walked down to the lounge and said to me, are you still playing this fucking game? I said, I am still playing this fucking game. Not in a bad way. I think she's also just kind of sick of seeing it and hearing it, because even I'm, you know, like the controller makes the static sound whenever there's enemies nearby, and because those four-legged mannequin things are fucking everywhere and they jump out at you all the time, you just hear that noise all the time. And I'm at a point now where hearing that noise was a really cool novelty when I started playing it, but now I just want to fucking die. I probably could just turn off the controller or turn it down, but it's just annoying me. This is frustrating me. I just want to get it done at this point. It's shit me. Mute in the chat does ask, wait, aren't there multiple endings? There absolutely are. I will go with whatever ending I get because I am not playing it again.
Yeah, I think one of them's technically exclusive to New Game Plus.
Yeah. So there's a couple endings that I'm aware of. There's one involving Maria. There's one that is kind of like in a car. And there's a couple different options. So it's not really spoilers because the game's fucking old as hell. Like whatever ending I get, because apparently the endings, unlike Unlike games like, I don't know, fucking Detroit or whatever, you can see the path of the choices where your ending will go. But apparently there's a number of unmeasured things or visibly unmeasurable characteristics that will dictate an outcome for you in terms of the ending. So I think if you spend a bit more time with Maria, or this is all what I've heard, I having not finished it yet myself, I'm purely speculative. If you spend more time with Maria, you get a different ending compared to, you know, not.
So there's eight endings.
Fuck that, which, they get one out of me.
Two of which are exclusive to the remake.
Oh, that's fancy pants. I will go with whatever one I get, and therefore that will become the canonical ending. But yeah, so because you presumably, as you mentioned, the only other thing you've been playing apart from Pokemon Pocket was Lego Horizons this week. But
yeah,
have you gone back to Silent Hill at all?
No, I haven't. No. Not this week. I haven't touched it.
Yeah, because
I've been watching a lot of TV this week. As ooh, opposed
that's
to
good. What have you been? What have you been watching then?
Agatha All Along.
Oh yeah.
Had its double episode season finale this week, and it is one of the best pieces of Marvel television I have seen in a very long time.
Really?
Super stoked with that. I just remembered that the finale for Yellowstone is next week, so I now have to rewatch the part one of the finale so I remember what the fuck's going on.
And wait, you say the new season starting or a finale?
The finale. This like the second part of the part two of the season finale is coming out next week. So
when was part one?
About 2 years ago.
Well, that's what I was thinking. So,
because obviously they shut down over COVID, and then Kevin Costner's like, "I'm gonna make my own movies," which was a terrible idea because apparently it's fucking shit, and it should have been a TV series, not a movie. But he's like, "I'll pay for it myself," and he lost all his money. But he's apparently not returning, and I'm like, "What? He's like the fucking main character. How are we doing that?"
Mm.
So I'm gonna rewatch to remember what's going on because it's been a hot minute.
Yeah, look, I've never watched it. I know Phoebe's a huge fan.
It's quite good. I'm not usually into westerns, but it was enough of like a political intrigue as well that kept me hooked.
Well, that's the thing. Apparently, like it's a western, but it's like not a western because it's set in like modernish times. It's just a themed in the country. There was one. There was a what's the word? A compilation of clips of just that the woman just being loose and not giving a fuck and just like verbally berating these dudes. Like she was sitting in a bar and some guy made a move and she just like tore this dude a new bumhole right then and there. And it's like she's one of those characters that she's interesting to watch because you know it's going to be drama and chaos. But if she was a real person, you would fucking want nothing to do with her because she would be so painfully damaging to you and everyone around you.
Mm-hmm.
But from the clips that I've seen, it's interesting to watch. And I'm sure I'll like this show. I should give it a go. Because, look, on top of that, because we don't have a show at the moment. Do we? We have a bunch of, like, casual shows that we've watched just to sort of kill time. Like, we're doing Two Broke Girls again because it's just my kind of dumb.
Well, I've just finished Two and a Half Men. It's been my background noise TV show.
Two and a Half Men?
Yeah.
Man, I was never a big fan. I just found it kind of gross. I don't know why.
Because it is.
Yeah, probably because it is. What else? Everybody Loves Raymond popped up the other day, and that was intriguing. Like, those early episodes were bizarre. Man, you guys watch some old shows. Man, it's because we are old, and we fall back to comfort shows. Like, we've rewatched Simpsons for a little while, but I've clearly lost interest in that, and I haven't gone back. In true ADHD fashion, and just me being in an inability to focus on something. Because, Futurama was there for a while, Nanny, the Will and Grace, Better Call Saul. There's all these shows that I start with great intention. Oh, Friends, I tried to go again.
I did Friends not long ago when Matthew Perry passed away.
I didn't care that much.
Time to watch Friends again.
That show is fine. I can understand its cultural impact and its importance, and I can understand there's a lot of larger references that have rolled out past the show, but it's fine. Not that I only watch shows that have me translated on the TV, because that would be utterly insane and fucking boring to watch. I watch Friends and I look at it and I go, there is nothing about this show that seems real and authentic, which is not, because it's a fucking show, but it's just like, I know that seems really bizarre and a real weird way to look at it, but yeah, I don't know. Just weird.
You're like, who even has five friends?
Who has five friends? Who can afford that house? None of them seem to work.
Chandler works. And Phoebe work. I mean, all of them, literally all of them work, except for Joey, maybe.
Yeah, the beauty of a sitcom is you never really see them work unless it's relevant. Like, they just have this abundance of it's like Seinfeld. Like, they're never at their fucking jobs. But at least,
that's not true. Jerry's literally working at the start of every episode.
That's true. At least with Always Sunny in Philadelphia, like they by bringing Danny DeVito, they have an explanation that he just bankrolls everything, so they don't have to worry about the work. They explain it that he has money. But yeah. Is there anything else I've been playing this week?
Sorry, it can't be The Office where they just work. The show is their work.
Yeah, even The Office, like. Once Steve Carell left, they went kind of downhill. Like, I did contemplate, once again, rather than just fucking finish a show that I've started, it's just, maybe I'll watch Parks and Rec again, because I really enjoyed Parks and Rec, but I don't know. I don't fucking know. I haven't even been really watching wrestling lately. I just exist in the evening, put something on and...
Just go watch the 30 seasons of Supernatural.
I had considered that too, but then I would do exactly what I normally do, which is get to season 6 and phase off.
Actually, you know what I did watch recently? Smallville.
I've never watched that in full, actually. Yeah, it's difficult, because at the end of my day, I'm tired, especially today. But like, my brain's fucking mush. But I want to watch shows that are engaging for me and like interesting, hence why I love shows like Better Call Saul and Breaking Bad, etc. But my brain's so fucking melted at the end of the day that like the idea of watching a show that I have to pay attention to just seems painful. Like Mad Men is another one I'd really like to watch again, or I finish, I should say, because I get about 3 seasons in and I fucking really, really like that show. But Phoebe doesn't, and I'm not going to watch a show without her, like, because that seems weird. So be like, hey, I'm gonna watch Mad Men, can you like not be here,
can you fuck off to the other lounge room with the other TV?
Yeah, that seems really fuckery, so I'm not gonna do that. Bones says me, yeah, Bones is an okay show.
Bones is good.
And if once again, if I want to understand myself, Bones is fucking autistic as shit, so like maybe I would understand that. Maybe there's my relation, because she too just fucking is confused by the world. But then I'm not going to, saying that though, I'm not going to watch things like fucking
Monk.
Oh no, I liked it. Monk was okay, but it's a bit old now. What's the other one that everyone made fun of because the main character is a garbage presentation of ASD? He was a doctor. Was it called The Doctor? Not House.
The Good Doctor.
The good doctor. That's the one. Yeah, not going to watch that. Oh, on a side note, though, if you want to talk about ASD, and then we'll transition to talking about fucking news so I can go to bed. There's a show on ABC. It's called The Assembly, and it's really cool. Are you aware of The Assembly?
No, I thought you were going to plug the podcast that you're part of this week.
I was on a podcast this week? Last week?
Last week.
Oh, yeah, that too. Oh, yeah, I'll talk about that. Yeah, so The Assembly is a show here on ABC, the Australian Broadcast Channel Corporation? Channel. fucking whatever ABC stands for. So they have a show called The Assembly, which is, the idea is they get, they've got a journalist, she hosts 7:30, her name escapes me right now. She's a woman, and she's awesome, and she's like one of the most well-respected journalists in the country, and I can't remember her fucking name, which makes me look like an asshole.
Talking about Sarah Ferguson?
Nope.
Nope.
Yeah, it'll come to me in a minute. I'll probably remember shortly. But the idea of the show is that they have a class of individuals that are on the autism spectrum, and they get to go and have a shot at being journos. So there's five episodes that we've seen so far, and each of them, they are interviewing a noted celebrity or important figure, but it's set up in such a way that they are allowed to be absolutely them. They can ask whatever question they like, however they want to present it, and it's really supportive and inclusive, which I don't know, it tickles my brain and makes me... Lee Sales. That's her name, Lee Sales. So that they've interviewed Hamish Blake, Sam Neill, Prime Minister Anthony Albanese, Adam Goods, the AFL player, and Delta Goodrum as the ones I've seen so far. They're all fantastic, except Delta Goodrum. She is the most fake individual I've ever seen in my entire life, and everyone went in with honesty and openness and to sort of willingness to take on board any question that is given to them. Delta Goodrum was the one that showed the most resistance and had her guard up almost the entire time, so much so that I was like, can we watch fucking anything else, because it's making me uncomfortable looking at her. And the next one is Amanda Keller, who's a great comedian and radio host, etc. Should be fantastic. But yeah, no, it's just really cool. I want to give that a plug because it's awesome. And yeah, I really quite like the show. But yeah, in terms of the other thing, it was that Shameless promo that Max mentioned. So I guested on a podcast. I recorded this podcast months ago, like before we even moved to this house. It was just before I moved to this house, actually. And the idea is it's a gentleman by the name of Andy. He is the dad of a kid that my son goes to school with, a mate of my kid. And his kid's birthday party. And then towards the end of the day, I was just kind of hanging off to the side as I normally do, because it's all these parents that I don't know. And because I'm fucking weird, I just keep my distance, because I don't need any additional uncomfortable social interactions because I get them naturally, right? Yeah, then we ended up chatting and he mentioned that he had a podcast. I was like, oh, sweet, you know, podcast. So it's called Leading Our Own Way, and the whole idea of it is he interviews individuals that are leading their own way in life, whether they have overcome traumas, challenges, things in their life, things that could be inspirational or those... Fuck, my brain is absolutely not doing anything it wants to right now. Anything that I want it to. It's fucking frustrating me. The idea is anyone that has inspiration or a story to share that could inspire. That's the fucking word I wanted. That could inspire others. And I certainly didn't think I'm that person, but apparently I am. So yeah, we sat down for about 2 hours-ish, just under, and I shared my story, focused predominantly on my neurodiversity, because that's sort of that was the key pillar of all my changes in X amount of time. It was really good, and the reception seems to be really well. I'm happy. I say you know a lot, mostly because I think I was pretty nervous when I was doing it, and something that I've realized a lot lately. I do it whenever I'm trying to get a point across or I'm expressing myself. I'll either say you know or at the end go, does that make sense? But not in a, I don't think you're capable of understanding what I've said. It's more of, I probably just rambled for 5 minutes. I lost myself halfway through, and I think I got my point there in the end. I think. So hence why I bookend that. And that same with you know, it's essentially me seeking confirmation as I'm speaking that you're keeping up with me, in that I haven't tangented to somewhere fucking weird, which I do normally do as well. So yeah, that was probably my one pickup of listening back to it. I'm like, damn, I said that. I say that a lot. But no, it was a good chat. I enjoyed listening back to it. I haven't listened to all of it yet. Yeah, we were listening to it the other night in bed. Just had it on while we're heading into sleep. It did feel horribly narcissistic and self-important to listen to my own podcast in my bed, which is weird. But apparently it's interesting, so... Anyway, speaking of interesting, I'm sure there's a fucking thousand things that are more interesting than whatever I'm saying right now. So let's get to the section we call Inform the Players. We tell you about what happened this week in PlayStation. Max, do you want to just bury the lead and go with like the biggest bit of news to kick it off?
Sure.
All right, let's go with that. Things the PlayStation shut down, man.
Things got shut down, yeah. So let's talk about... This will cover it as well, but the labor union, the Communication Workers of America, the CWA, claimed that Sony's recent closures of Concord developer Firewalk and mobile studio Neon Koi are evidence of it looking to further its, quote, monopoly position in the video games industry. It's also warned that it'll be sharing its concerns with regulators and policymakers. Firewalk, was shuttered earlier this week after the unprecedented flop of Concord, the online multiplayer game, which is rumored to have sold fewer than 25,000 copies. Neon Koi, however, meanwhile, was acquired by Sony a couple of years ago, was working on a mobile action game, which never saw the light of day. In a statement, the CWA has said, quote, Sony's decision to dissolve studios outside their walled garden of PlayStation-exclusive content, rather than making games that have to compete in the highly diverse and competitive mobile game market, should be a cautionary warning sign of Sony's interest in furthering their monopoly position in the video games industry. Quote, CWA plans to raise the anti-competitive impacts of Sony's increasing monopoly and monopsony power with the appropriate antitrust regulators, policymakers, and stakeholders. The PS5, of course, isn't anywhere close to being a monopoly. While it's a successful product, it faces stiff competitions from Nintendo PC and to a lesser but not ignorable extent Xbox. It's also challenged by all other forms of entertainment such as Netflix, etc. Ironically, the CWA supported Microsoft's massive acquisition of Activision Blizzard on the basis of labor neutrality agreement. This unfortunately didn't prevent the thousands of layoffs which have occurred within the division since the near $70 billion deal closed.
What's your thoughts on this one, man?
It's bizarre that they're supporting Microsoft buying up a ton of stuff, but as soon as Sony shut down a couple of studios, they're like, well, that's... Look, it sucks that they got shut down. Like, it really does, because, you know, Firewalk they bought last year, I think. Neon Koi was bought in 2001, I'm pretty sure, I think, from memory. So for 3 years, they worked on a game that will never see the light of day. They've just been, they're just gone. Concord literally made no money because they refunded all the copies that were bought. So it was just a... $200 million hole in their pocket, essentially, plus whatever they paid for the studio on top of that, to just now close everything. It's a shame that obviously those people can't be redeployed within Sony as a whole, similar to those of, you know, the former Bungie stuff. But it's a very interesting take to be like to say that Sony has a monopoly, but I don't think they clearly do at all.
No, they absolutely don't. The main issue, I think, that what they're pointing out here is the closure of Neon Koi. So for those that may not know, Neon Koi is the recently rebranded, like literally within the last 12 months, not even. It was originally Savage Studios. It was a team that had made absolutely nothing before being purchased by PlayStation with the idea of supporting and growing their mobile initiative. However, yeah, nothing has come out of it at all, and it now won't. And then, yeah, Firewalk, after, yeah, the pummeling not success that was Firewalk, have shut down the entire studio. Now, as you mentioned, I don't think there's anything about redeployment. I think it was pretty much just done and dusted, which does absolutely suck because Firewalk were originally under a team called, I'll say probably Monsters, I think they were called. And even then, they hadn't really released a whole lot since before the acquisition. So to have, yeah, to essentially come out in the negative with the ability for all copies to be refunded, if, you know, for those that chose to or wanted to keep their physical disc for whatever reason. The conversation is like about $200 million that was put additionally on the production of Firewalk outside of the cost of the studio acquisition, outside of the cost to develop the game prior to acquisition. So the greater thing around that at large is it sucks. It sucks so hard for those two teams. But there is Savage, I think, is the most interesting one. Because they were set up to do something, but then nothing. With Firewalk, there is no way that they could have a return on investment for that team and the game itself. It's just not possible. Even if they worked the game, made it free to play, it wouldn't matter. When the game was available through beta, no, and it was free, no one played it. So I don't think there's any way that we could have saved Concord or we could have saved Firewalk. The challenge now, and this was pointed out the other day on a different show, and I thought of the sentiment prior, and I agree with it, is that now there is really no extraneous? No. I can't think of the word. There's no like extra teams that are around that could make the cut if they had to reduce headcount again. You know, everyone's either working on a game or they have enough pedigree that you wouldn't want to shut them down. The only one that would maybe brought into question would be, say, Media Molecule. But because they've got the BAFTA award-winning person, they're probably not going to like flip that studio anytime soon. Like, because what? In the last couple of years, they shut Studio London. They shut Neon Koi and Firewalk. Doesn't leave a whole lot. But if they
lose that MLB license, maybe that studio will... That's all they do, right?
That is true. But Sony San Diego do a lot of support work as well. Outside of MLB, they do a lot of support. In the same way that they have like Valkyrie and Nixus and stuff to do exactly that, to assist. If you think about the list, like obviously Naughty Dog's fine. Sucker Punch is fine. Bend is probably the one that's the most on the next list, I guess, on the presumption that apparently they're making something cool. Who knows? But and then like Housemarque, etc., which I always forget that Housemarque's in the fold. Not any intention. I just
look. Forget. I don't think Housemarque will go anywhere though.
Oh, absolutely not. No, absolutely not. But yeah. So in terms of this monopoly, I think that their main argument is because they shut their only studio that creates for external hardware in what would have been Neon Koi into the mobile market. So if their argument is they have all these studios to make stuff for their platform and that's a problem, then that is stupid. Stupid. That's their argument, right? They're like, where was it? There's the word.
It's Sony's decision to dissolve studios outside of their walled garden of PlayStation exclusive content, rather than making games that have to compete in the highly diverse and competitive mobile game market. It should be a cautionary warning sign of Sony's interest in furthering their monopoly position in the video game industry.
No, it demonstrates how fucking explosive and bugged up the mobile system is. The time of just genuinely good mobile games doesn't exist. Every game is a microtransaction, race to the bottom, full of ads, piece of shit. Like, that market is so disgustingly destroyed. I don't know what the fuck these people are talking about. And yeah, if that's called monopolistic behavior, it is astounding that they would not contest the Microsoft acquisition of ABK. That is a thousandfold more monopolistic than closing your mobile studio. But I think, fucking stupid. Fucking stupid. I think I hit all the points there. I don't know. Once again, rambled in my brain, and I think I came out with words. Next bit of news, PlayStation Essentials. Actually, I'm gonna do two, because... I'm going to do one. PlayStation Essentials. So this month's PlayStation Essentials are out. There's the free games that aren't really free, but sort of are, but sort of aren't. The three you get are Ghostwire Tokyo on PS5, Hot Wheels Unleashed 2 Turbocharged, both for PS4 and PS5, and Death Note Killer Within PS5, PS4.
Which is just Among Us in a Death Note skin, by the look of it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh. It's like a team-based social deduction game.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, the second I saw Death Note, I'm like, I'm not going to know what this is, so I'm not going to play it. And Ghostwire Tokyo, we did play.
Ghostwire Tokyo was cool. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. I haven't played it since launch, because I found...
Started like a motherfucker, but...
Yeah, well, I found it really juddery. And like really like choppy to play. It wasn't smooth. And I genuinely felt sick playing it. So I stopped. And then I did get my better TV, which does have variable refresh rates, etc. So I probably could. Well, that's what I'm saying. If there's a problem with the frame timing, right, or the frame rate, I should now be in a position where there's that middle ground that should isolate those issues. Because performance ran pretty well. Performance ran well, but choppy. Quality ran just as choppy. So if I was to experience it, I'd have to play it in a different mode, and that's the only way I could do it.
Just got to wait for that PS5 Pro upgrade.
Yeah, on the presumption that I'm buying a PS5 Pro, which I am most certainly not. I would like to, but I am not. I know you got a lot of kick out of it because you were seeing streets that you had walked down, and you quite like that
hand mythology
nonsense.
I like the mythology that it's exploring, yeah.
And Hot Wheels is always fun.
Yeah. One size doesn't fit all. In a statement issued to IGN, Sony has officially confirmed that existing PlayStation 5 Slim covers will not fit the Pro console. A spokesperson said, quote, PS5 console covers are not compatible with PS5 Pro. However, players will be able to swap out different console covers of PS5 Pro when they become available in the future.
I distinctly remember there being something said somewhere that they would fit.
I believe they said that the disc cover would fit because it's the same disc cover.
On a technicality?
I think it's the same disc drive that they use for the Slim. So
well, that is absolutely true, yeah.
Like, that'll fit, but the top half, you just have to, like, shirts off, I guess.
See, that's dumb when there's four of them, and they're like, oh, one of them fits. That makes zero sense, but shout out to them, I guess. It seems like a garbage decision. Like, when it's simply just you put the little holes in the side where it clips on, and like, yeah, it's got the extra band in the middle, but...
They're different connectors, apparently.
Yeah, as I'm saying, like, where they're located looking at the pictures, where the clippy bits on the back of it should fit, they're in different locations on the Pro, which astounds me, because why the fuck can't you just put holes in the same spot?
Because then they get you... to buy another set. Yeah,
they've now got to make up all that money for closing, you know, for Concord not doing anything. And they're going to get it every dollar out of you by making you buy
If we're not going to include the stand or the disc drive, why would we let you replace the plates with the ones that you've got?
That's true. It is. It's absolutely bang on PlayStation. So, I was taken aback, but I wasn't surprised. I was like, oh, yeah.
Just be thankful they didn't come out with their own fucking proprietary SSD that we had to pay for to put in the PlayStation 5.
Yeah, that's true.
Be thankful that it's just an M2 drive.
That is absolutely an advantage. All right, next piece. Show, don't tell, Max says. Speaking with Variety, co-CEOs Herman Holst and Hideki Nishino, excuse me, said that because said that's because the company has now adopted a show don't tell mantra. Quote, it's important we convey our strategy, and explained Holst, but at the end of the day, I am with the creators a big chunk of the time, end quote. Nishino agreed, saying, quote, to me, the product, the content, it should be the forward facing things. Behind the scenes, who is the guy doing it? It doesn't matter. Ooh.
Which is a shame because we're not seeing either of those things.
Yeah. Because like, oh, we'll show, but we'll show, not tell. Are you going to fucking show anything? No. All right.
It's a secret.
See, this is the interesting thing. And to go off like Firewalk, right? This quote here, but at the end of the day, I am with the creators a big chunk of time. Herman Holst, can we trust your judgment at the moment? Now, I understand a lot of these decisions were made prior to your inclusion as co-CEO. However, the abundance of support for a franchise that you had helmed in your time as lead of Guerrilla, we're seeing a whole fuckload of Horizon right now. There's literally two new Horizon games this month, in the last 3 weeks. Apparently, you were one of the biggest backers of Concord. Now, I understand that in the idea of if we don't say anything, then it may be, if they cancel a game like they have in terms of all these games as a service titles that will never see the light of day and we never heard of them, so they're being cancelled and we didn't know, like that is ideal because an example is Wolverine was announced a little while ago and aside from the leak, we have still not seen it or heard it. It's been years, which is also outside of Sony's usual time discussion thing.
There's a bit about Wolverine in the quick bits.
Oh, well, we'll head in there in just a sec. But yeah, is it for you? Are you in the same sort of boat? Like, is it if you're going to show, don't tell? Like, you better fucking show.
Yeah, well, it's that thing. I think it's just them saying we've moved away from having this figurehead because obviously Jim Ryan, despite all his faults, was very like front-facing of everything that was going on. Same with, you talk about Sean Layden being the face of the company for so long.
Well, he was CEO prior to...
They've decided to be like, we don't need that front-facing person. We need to just let our hardware and our software do the talking for us. But the problem is that there's nothing to show at the moment that's doing any talking. It's just crickets chirping in the woods.
Yeah. See, so. I disagree... Not with what you're saying, but their
premise of not having a front facing.
Yeah, I think that's bullshit. And there's a couple of reasons. To humanize
the company.
Exactly. I know we've talked about it before. Like, yeah.
Make it relatable to the common man.
Yeah. And, it's one of those things where it provides a connection to the brand, which is really, really important. So, damage control, like if they have a figure that people connect to and people understand, they're more forgiving. But if you don't, then they get a whole lot of hate thrown at them too. So that is the challenge. Jim Ryan, as an example, really got a lot of shit thrown at him because he wasn't relatable. He didn't connect the audience or the player base. Just didn't. Sean Layden, everyone fucking adored Sean Layden. Like, and they adored Shuhei.
Phil Spencer really plays that role very well. And I think, is it Sarah Bond now as well? Sarah Bond,
yeah.
Is also, yeah.
Yeah,
They really do a fantastic job over there.
Yeah, they do and they don't. Like, I think they're pushing their trust limit at this point. But it's also helpful. Because the idea of like, oh, who's the guy doing it? No, fuck that. Like that sentence alone. Behind the scenes, who's the guy doing it? Doesn't matter. It absolutely fucking does matter. Because all of these, every development team, every game is made by a large group of individuals coming together to make a piece. So I'm sorry, when thousands upon thousands of people are being laid off, it is important we know who they are, what they're doing, why they're doing, because the second we do that, they become faceless, they become numbers more than they already are, and then they go, doesn't matter. You didn't know who was behind them. We laid off the entire team. We got rid of, 50% of the staff got made redundant. No. You don't do that fucking corporate shit and dehumanize all these people. Nah, nah. Fuck both of y'all. Quick bits.
Quick bits. The PS5 Pro enhanced labels will be hitting physical media very soon. I think this week is when they're coming out.
Oh, the updated packaging to hit the Pro. Yeah, so PS5 Pros are out in the wild at the moment. We've been seeing them across socials here in Australia and internationally. The only things we've seen so far is like the box comparison, and box is smaller.
Did you notice that it no longer says 8K like the base?
No, it says 4K at 120 or something stupid. No, yeah, 16K. There's a dumb number on there that I went, huh?
I'm pretty sure it says 4K 120. It does not say 8K anymore, like the base PS5 box.
Yeah, which is
because they've realized that it doesn't fucking do it.
Well, it is one of those things. It can do 8K if you're watching something at 13 frames a second, but yeah.
Wolverine's lead developer has left for Xbox's Perfect Dark team.
Yeah, that's a bold strategy, Cotton. Because they're still mid dev. Like, are you losing your lead or your creative lead at this when it's towards the end? It makes sense because you're kind of wrapping stuff up. They may not be needed as much, but with no release date in sight, and on the presumption is they're still mid development, having him leave ain't a good sign.
Mm. BioWare have announced that they're not working on a DLC for Veilguard. They are focusing all their efforts on the next Mass Effect.
Cool. So, actually, let's touch upon this now, because it is an interesting sort of bit of news. Now, I don't have anything to fucking say about it. But, Max, yourself, you were interested in Dragon Age. Have you checked it out? What's your stance on the larger discourse around this game at the moment?
I have played the opening session of the game, which was in one of the trailers, or one of the like the preview footage that everyone got to see. I've done that section of the game. I haven't put much time into it. The character creation was pretty awesome. If you're into that kind of thing, I kind of just skim through it. In games like that, character creation is not my jam. I just want to play the game, enjoy the story. Now, I haven't enjoyed a Dragon Age game since Origins.
Mm.
2 was absolutely horrendous. Inquisition, I kept getting to the same point and being like, this isn't for me. And then I'd come back to it, get to the same point. I'm like, that's still not for me.
Mm.
So this being a direct sequel to that, although it has a time jump in it, I'm trying to remember who these characters are, having not played through the entirety of Inquisition. It's fine. I haven't experienced any of the wokeness that everyone's talking about. You know, can you select your pronouns in character creation? Yep. Does it matter? Not really.
Yeah, whoopee, fucking
doesn't. I don't think. Well, it hasn't affected me in any way, shape, or form at the moment. It's like, do you want? I think it offers she, her, he, him, they, them. And then you can mix and match your voice. You can have a more male voice, female voice, depending on
the lettered body types and stuff, which is has always been a thing. It's always been fun.
Gameplay's all right.
Mm.
Combat's pretty cool. I like the fact that I can play a mage at close combat with a dagger and a fucking spell focus now, which is cool. But again, I'm very, very early, and I think I played like 2 hours. Bounced off pretty quickly because I was doing something else at the time.
Yeah, the larger discourse around the game has been interesting. Like, the only couple of clips that I've seen, it was the one, and once again, in context, it may make complete sense, but out of context, I just find it hysterical. Of like the horned race, what are they called? The Canari?
Tunami,
whatever it was. One of the individuals sits down and then just goes, I'm non-binary. And it's just like I'm sure there's conversation that leads into that moment, but I think that's fucking hysterical. Like, people are getting mad about it because they're dumb, but it's just a funny scene. I'm like, I hope this makes sense in context.
I think the best thing that I've seen, like, it's interesting that the reviews are either it's a fucking 10 out of 10 masterpiece or it sucks.
Mm.
There is no in between. I haven't seen
that's
like
the world we live in.
Like, I haven't seen like it score like a 6 or a 7. It's either 9 or 10 or like 2. Just don't bother playing it. Yeah. But I think the best way I've heard it described is it's a young adult novel. So it's kind of sappy.
Yeah, bullshit. That's
it's sappy bullshit that caters to someone who isn't quite, what's the word I'm looking for?
Sort of like emotionally developed or matured enough to sort of be able to identify those deeper nuances, perhaps?
Yeah. It's been described as what would be interpreted as young adult fiction.
The main critique that has rolled into my brain that it's actually extended outside of just this discussion was, I think it was SkillUp that mentioned in their review that all the scripts, the writing of the game feels like it was written with HR watching the entire time. And after die laughing, because I'm like, holy shit, I then thought about it. And there are a lot of games that are in that. Even games that I like. So someone brought up the example of Spider-Man 2 in that same conversation. Then I thought about it. I'm like, yeah. There is a lot of weird dialogue in that game. Forspoken's in there as well. So there's all these games that feel like HR's watching or... And the other example was the term therapy talk, which is great because therapy is awesome, but as therapy has become more prominent and prolific, and discussions around mental health and self understanding etc. has happened, it has set up a lot of people to communicate more psychology related terms in common language. So as a result, like, it always feels like fluffy and says something with, but also saying nothing at the entire. And that's something I'm also very conscious of myself, because I talk about brains and shit all the time. So I try not to fall into like therapy language, but that in of itself is pretty entertaining. Just because
I have the feeling of, like, if you enjoyed Inquisition, you're probably going to enjoy this, as like the continuation of the story. But it's not going to win any new folks over who have never played the game before.
Do you think it'll be in a game of the year conversation? Obviously not from what you've experienced, but I mean, like, because you've paid more attention to the larger conversation than I have.
Look, I mean, it's hard. Like, Dragon Age Inquisition won Game of the Year it came out. Granted, nothing else of note came out that fucking year,
it's pretty bloody. Like,
it's one of those things, like, where, you know, we're what, a month away from award season, essentially. Like, it's gonna have that recency bias, but I don't know. Like, that's what I mean. Like, the people, because obviously they are still voted on by critics, and the critics are pretty split 50-50 on this game is incredible and is a must play, or this game is really disappointing from this team. Now, granted, this team is a completely new team because everyone who worked on fucking Dragon Age.
Yeah, it's BioWare in name only. Like, it's,
yeah, like, everyone's kind of disappeared since, you know, it's been in 8 years of development hell. But, you know, it's got some tough contenders for, like, it'll, because I would imagine that the two categories it would hit would be Game of the Year or RPG of the Year, and it's got some pretty fucking big names to go up against this year for, especially RPG of the Year.
What are the other big honkers?
I mean, technically, you could throw Yakuza Like a Dragon. You could throw Metaphor: ReFantazio. Yeah.
Metaphor. That'll be a doozy.
You can throw... There was a Final Fantasy game this year. Like, you know, it's...
Yeah, I think this is Metaphor to lose, really, by the sounds.
Yeah. It's one of those things.
Yeah.
But again, Yakuza came out in February. Like, are people going to still be talking about it?
No, I thought it was last year, so...
And, like, I adored that game. It is currently on my short list of games of the year that I played this year, but...
I honestly couldn't tell what it's going to be at this point. I have no idea. Probably Astrobot. final quick bit.
Find out Fortnite is about to make even more than all of the money, because you can now buy digital Jordans. So you can wear shoes in Fortnite now. Get them Jordan monies.
Well, as a wearer of Jordans, purely because I like the aesthetic of them. Their foot comfortability is questionable.
So get ready to see a bunch of fucking John Wicks and anime characters run around in their Jordans, shooting people.
Look, if I can get them, if I can get, I say like I play Fortnite, I don't play Fortnite ever. But if I can get my red, black and white Jordans, I'll be like, okay. If I can get Kratos in some Jordans, that'd be pretty sick.
Yeah, Halo running around in some Jordans.
Or you could do what I saw this morning. They've introduced a Snoop Dogg dance into the game, which is essentially crip walking.
I think Snoop Dogg's in the game.
He is in the game. But as I'm saying, they're bringing in like an emote that is the crip walk, which is cool because Snoop Dogg has most certainly popularized that. But that is a little concerning. Because, you know, kids doing kids things and, you know, you go anywhere and some kid's doing the floss. Imagine you go to some kid's party and there's a bunch of kids doing crip walks. You're like, ooh. In Australia, you're okay. But depending on where you are in the US, your kid just may get sucker punched. It's great. That's a bit... Because it's funny. Tangent, I know. But the other day, Phoebe and I watched...
Punch the kid?
There's plenty of kids I want to punch. Anytime we go to the pool, anytime we go to bounce, I want to punch any kid that's not mine or yours. Because they're all just repugnant. But we watched the 2022 Super Bowl halftime show, which was Snoop, Dre, 50 Cent, Eminem, and a woman. I want to say Blue Crenshaw, but it's not. Was it Eve? Either way.
Mary J?
Was Mary J. Blige?
Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, Eminem, Mary J, Kendrick
was
Lamar.
Was Mary J. Blige. And Kendrick. Well, Kendrick's new. I don't listen to a lot of Kendrick, so. But it was interesting. And even then, I was thinking about the Olympics as well and how like Snoop Dogg went from, you know, hardcore gangster rapper, literally refused entry into this country multiple times, to now being at the Olympics, hanging out with his good mate, that cook, whose name escapes me. And so, you know, the removal of the fangs that is Snoop Dogg and Dre and Ice Cube and all these hardcore gangster rappers from like the 90s, and they're all like just chilled old dudes now that everyone's like, yeah, cool. And then even the dance of a fucking gang is now in Fortnite and everyone's like, yeah, that's cool. It's a bizarre time, Max. It's a bizarre time. All right, let's get into the upcoming games. On the 4th of November, we get Empire of the Ants on PS5. On the 5th of November, we do get Death Note Killer Within. Oh, is that coming straight to PlayStation Plus?
It is coming straight to PlayStation Plus.
Oh, that's not good. Hunt and Fight coming to PS5. Let's Sing 2025 comes to PS5. Metal Slug Tactics, PS5, PS4. It was Rihanna. Rihanna was not in that one. It was a lot of hip hop artists, not R&B artists. It's a good show. 6th of November, this man's birthday. Demons of Astaborg, interesting name, PS5. Planet Coaster 2, PS5. Run from Mummies, PS5. I presume that's Mummies the Egyptian, not Mummies as in parental figures, because that would be intriguing. Slavic Punk Old Timer. That's intriguing. PS5, PS4. 7th of November, we get the Aldi version of Astro Bot in Astebros, Astebros, coming to PS5. Battle Spirits Crossover, PS5. Goat Simula Remastered, PS5. Magical Bakery, PS5. Metro Awakening, coming to PSVR 2. Phantom Brave, the Hamuda Triangle Remastered, PS5. River City Saga 3 Kingdoms next, PS4. This is one of those drum games. Taiko no Tatsujin?
Yeah.
Rhythm Festival, PS5. Tectonica, PS5. And then on the 8th of November, the Aldi version of Elden Ring in Elderborn. And then, of course, it is not a racial slur, even though it does sound like one, Slitterhead. Lands 8th of November.
You know what? I really want to play Metro Awakening and shit my pants in VR.
Oh, it would be horrendous. I'd like to play that one. Because there's a lot of cool features in the Metro games, like, you know, clearing your mask and, you know, everything's on your wristwatch and things that would really benefit from...
Vianus.
From the... Yeah, you Vianus. And Slitherhead just... It's from the guy that made some good horror thing. Maybe even been Silent Hill. I don't know. But it does sound like a slur. And that does make me laugh every time I hear it. And I do like that on Sacred Symbols, it is a running bit. Because it is uncomfortable to say. Yeah, it's interesting. But in the chat, Mute mentions Croc Remastered. Is that out this week?
It wasn't on my list. Let me have a look. Croc Remastered coming soon. When is coming soon?
Is soon now?
It launches digitally in December.
The collector's edition got shown off this week, though.
It looks like shit.
Looks like arse.
So cynical.
No, I just don't like Croc.
No, I also don't like Croc.
Look, yeah, Croc is fine. But a platformer that has tank controls? Are you dumb? Granted, it was at the time.
Yeah, here you go. So you can pre-order the special edition now. Oh. It's open until the 10th of December, but the physical orders won't be shipped until quarter two of 2025. But it'll be sold digitally in December of this year.
Okay. Sure. Anyways, big thank you everyone for joining this week. I'm impressed I made it this long. Really appreciate you taking it. Mute in the set goes, I thought you were PlayStation guys. We are PlayStation guys. I have a copy of Croc here in my house, but the game's butt. Like, when you got two choices. Either you play...
I play Croc when you can play Spyro.
Or, actually, no, fuck that. That's also dumb. Or you can play Croc or you play Crash. Crash is the answer. Because Croc is not it. Spyro is not it either.
How dare you?
No.
I mean, why play either of them when you play Ape Escape? But, you know.
That's a good point. But yeah, big thank you to everyone for joining the show. Much appreciate you taking the time to listen and take on our bullshit. And especially with the delay of the recording because of my bullshit stuff with the wrestles.
Probably we are doing this for the foreseeable future.
At least the next, like, 5 weeks.
It'll end up being Mondays till, like, we go on our Christmas break.
Potentially, but there are, like, some of my shows are Friday, Saturday. I don't think there's any more Sunday shows, so we might be okay. But yeah, either way, let's get out of here.
Alrighty, everybody. This PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those you choose. If you'd like to take part in future conversations with us, you can come and check out our socials. Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and X. All of those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopculturist. We watch us record this show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation pod. If you're listening to us on podcast services, give it a 5-star rating and a written review. Watch us on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe to the comment below. I will endeavor to answer every single comment. And if you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/thepopculturist. Yeah, once again, not plugging the merch because there's not even any FTP merch on there, and who cares? But until next week, I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And that was For the Players.